Thank you for that. Chris, thanks for getting us pumped up. Where are you? I know you're here. Oh, he went away. Okay. I just want to know, you know, he kept asking us to find our niece at the church here. I don't have any nieces here, so, oh, never mind.
I was going to use that joke.
Oh, I beat you to it, Jerry. But it's an exciting week when we look forward to starting our fall schedule and all that God has in mind. And we're just excited. Frank and Jean, where are you? The Morleys, there they are. You guys have some kind of a special day coming up pretty soon, don't you? What is it? Frank, get up and tell folks.
Yes.
50 years. Now, when is the actual day? What is the actual day?
February 8th?
I'm doing well, aren't I? Okay. Next Saturday, and then there will be Coke and snacks. What's that? S-N-A-C-K-S. Oh, that's cake. Oh. Okay, there'll be cake and snacks after the service to celebrate their anniversary. But you know,
bulletin, are you?
What's that?
You're not the one who printed that bulletin, are you?
No. But next, you know, most folks celebrate their anniversary by letting folks congratulate them, and we plan to do that, and they receive gifts. But in typical fashion, Frank and Jean decided rather than receiving gifts for their anniversary, they're going to give a gift. And if you go to the fellowship hall, you'll notice that they have refinished the floor in the fellowship hall as a recognition of their anniversary, but because they wanted to give a gift in recognition of their anniversary. So when you have a chance, you wish them happy anniversary while you're drinking your Coke. But also say thanks, and I want to do that right here. Thank you for that gift of refinishing the floor. It's an honor and recognition of their anniversary. And I think it's because God gave them these years as a gift together that they're saying, Lord, we want to recognize your gift and give back to you. So thank you. And we want to honor that and thank you for it. Well, last week, we took a look at 2 John, one of the four letters. Oh, what are the four letters? They're really very short letters, typically less than a page in the scriptures. You know, 2 and 3 John are both really short. Philemon is another one by the Apostle Paul, and Jude, who was not written by Paul, but by Jude. But in any case, we want to look at these short letters and see what is the reason for the authors making the effort to write and send these letters when there was no postal service? They had to go through a lot of hassle. I mean, it was a big-time hassle for them to send these notes forward. And they did that. So there must be something very important in what they had to say. Rather than, you know, several pages, which might have been worth it, these were just very short notes. So we want to pay very close attention to what they're saying. And last week, John wrote about the urgency of focusing on love as the most important value in the Christian life. Now, that makes sense because Scripture tells us not just that God is loving and that he loves, and those are true, it does say that, but it says more. It goes so far as to say God is love. And for those of you who are of a philosophical bent, it's an existential statement. Not just that he's loving, but that existentially he is love. It is so much a description of his character and who he is that we say that God is love. And if that's true, then it's very important that that be the first mark of his people, of those who genuinely belong to God, because they take on that very fundamental characteristic of God himself, that they are love. And besides that, you've heard the great George Strait. Know him? And he said, if you ain't loving, you ain't living. Well, we'd probably add, if you're not loving, you're probably not living the Christian life the way God intended you to. It's urgent that we learn what it means to live a life grounded in love. And today we want to look at 3 John, which talks about the importance of all of us choosing and exercising some kind of control over those who influence us, over the influencers in our life. That's not a misprint. We choose our influencers. Now, I've spoken a lot on leadership because I take the word leadership to mean something more than being CEO of a company. There is a sense in which everyone who is a Christian is a leader. There are people who look up to you, who follow you, who honor you, whose lives you have a great impact on, who you have a positive influence on. And so that we need to take very seriously, every Christian needs to take very seriously their role as a leader. Look at the sphere of your influence. John MacArthur said this: all leadership seeks to accomplish one goal, influence. But before we can positively influence others, we've got to make sure that we're positively influenced ourselves. We've got to choose with great care those who have the power to influence us, to influence and shape our thoughts and beliefs and attitudes and behaviors. Solomon said this in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, the 24th and 25th verse: do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnarled. That's the way it happens. Who do you hang with? Who do you hang with? Who do you allow to enter into your sphere of influence? Because they do a lot towards shaping your life and who you are. Be careful, he is saying, who you let get close to you, because they can shape your life and lead you in the right way or the wrong way. I learned something interesting this week. Did you know that a significant factor in determining whether or not a person becomes overweight is whether or not this person's friends are overweight? That's because people have a tendency to imitate the unhealthy eating habits of their friends, the people they hang with. Now, am I saying that you should never be friends with a person who needs to lose weight? I hope not. If that were the case, I'd be a really lonely guy. But I am saying that we need to decide who and how much and to what extent we allow ourselves to be influenced by others. Now, you've probably heard of Dr. Dorothy Law Nolte's essay, Children Live What They Learn. It seems like we've all listened or heard at least pieces of this great poem. Now, it's long, so I won't repeat the entire thing, but the very beginning says things that are very important for us this morning. It says this: if children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. Now, that was written as a warning to parents. Be careful how you influence your children. But the flip side of it is that believers need to take a stand for themselves and say, I have decided that I will unlearn what I was taught. And as much as I love my parents, I'm not going to let their mistakes continue to have a negative influence on me. Starting today, I'm going to choose a better influence. Seek out those to hang with, spend time with, who will influence you in the right direction. You know what I mean. Everyone has their own personal issues, and everyone's are different, okay? Hang with those who will move you in the right direction, because you will be influenced by those you spend time with. Now, there are two ways to be influenced. One is inadvertently. Maybe you could call it influenced by osmosis, where you just pick up the habits that everyone else around you has. Did you know that there's a Minnesota accent? If you travel much, people will tell you that they can tell you're from Minnesota because you talk like a Minnesotan. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I thought Minnesota was the one place in all the country where we learned how to speak properly.
I do.
See? Because you're from Minnesota. If I was told that a lot when I was traveling in the Air Force, I was told a lot that I had I spoke funny. Now, I had no idea that I did, you know? I found it hard to believe, but so many people said this to me. Somehow, I had to come to grips with it. I have an accent because I'm from Minnesota? That doesn't make sense. When I was in the Azores, I was in this air sea rescue outfit for 15 months in the middle of the Atlantic, a little island called Terceira. And I worked with a guy who was a native Mexican. His name was Jose Morales. He was my assistant crew chief. He worked for me to help me keep my airplane in the sky. Now, he was really an amazing guy. He was my assistant crew chief. He held a PhD in mathematics from the University of Texas. No dummy. The Air Force was after him to accept a commission, and he refused it. He was running from the Air Force. He enlisted, and they were still coming after him. On the flight line, he would have people come and see him, but he refused. But when you heard Jose speak, you couldn't hear a twinge of an accent. Now, when I asked him about his perfect English, he told me it was because of a teacher he had who told him he could never get a decent job with his heavy accent. And so he insisted that Jose learned perfect English. So he did. He told me that he worked on it for years, and now you cannot detect a hint of an accent. He respected that teacher and worked hard to speak English with absolutely no accent. Now that's the second way that we're influenced by others, by intention. This is where you decide for yourself, this is who I will listen to. This is who I will be like. And today we'll talk about that kind of intentional influence. You know, who should you choose to help shape the person that you become? Do you think about that? Or you just kind of let life throw things at you? Satan loves people like that. He does. He loves Christians who don't pay attention, who just kind of let anybody shape them. Believe me, he will send shapers your way, no doubt. Okay? Now, there are three things in this letter of 3 John that we can see about choosing influencers. Okay? What are they? Well, first of all, choose influencers who genuinely care about you. John writes this, starting in verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, everyone has had a few of those teachers in school who really didn't seem to care about their students and who didn't even care about the subject they were teaching. Their style of teaching was just to give the facts, take it or leave it, learn it or fail. So what, you know? You spend a semester in their class and they never knew you were even there. And then there are those of us who are lucky enough to have had a few teachers for whom teaching was their passion and helping students was their calling. I remember those teachers, every one of them. They were special in my life, and they will be until the day I stand before the Lord and I tell the Lord about them. They were able to take a subject as seemingly bland as math or science or history, you know, or language, and make it come alive. You know what I'm talking about. Have you had a teacher like that? You know what they're like. Did you just love their class? I did. I remembered those people. Every chance you get, choose that kind of teacher. William Arthur Ward said, every person has the power to make others happy. One does it simply by entering a room, another by leaving the room. You know what I mean? You know people like that, don't you? Every chance you get, choose the person who brightens the room by coming in, not by going out. Yeah, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. When I seek out, for instance, financial advice, do you know what I look for? Well, I look for someone who knows something about money. And I also look for someone who knows me, who cares about me, someone who's not just trying to make a sale, but who sincerely wants me to do well financially. This is what I listen to. This also works on a spiritual level. I read lots of books and I listen to a lot of sermons, but do you know who has the greatest influence on me spiritually? It's not the great scholars or theologians or biblical scholars. It is people who love me. Even when they speak things I don't want to hear, I know that their words are motivated by love and a sincere desire to see me walk worthy in Christ. I listen to those people. Like Jolene. You know what I'm talking about. There are people in your life that are like that. They love you. And even when they say things that aren't all that comfortable, you listen. Because you know that it's important. When you think about who is going to influence your life and your faith and your beliefs and your attitudes and your behavior, choose those who have demonstrated that they genuinely care about you. Okay? Here's the second thing. Choose influencers who walk the talk. John wrote this, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. This is verse 5. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. And then John really lays it on the line. In verse 11, he says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." What is he saying? He's saying, look for those who walk the talk and do what they do. Many times in his letters, Paul says, imitate me. Follow my example. Do what I do. I read about a fitness trainer named Drew Manning, who has a unique approach to his fitness teaching. He was in excellent shape, as most personal trainers are, but last year he stopped working out and spent 6 months eating everything in sight, and he gained 70 pounds. And then he said to his fitness students, follow me. Do what I do, and I'll show you how to go from fat to being fit. If I can do it, you can do it. And in 6 months, he was back in tip-top shape. By his own example, he proved that his fitness advice isn't just theory. It really does work in real life. In choosing our influencers, we must ask the question, does this person practice what he preaches? Do I see in his life what I hear in his words? You know, you've heard the poem that says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do, for I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach at all times, and if necessary, use words. So true. Look for people who preach with their actions. Third thing I want you to see, choose influencers with a good reputation. John verse 12 says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. A person's reputation gives them credibility. There are times, and we've all seen it happen, when a person's reputation is either better than or worse than his real character. But most of the time, a person's reputation is what they've earned. Not all of the time. There are exceptions, to be sure. But most of the time, they've earned their reputation. That's why Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said that a leader must have a good reputation with outsiders. Because most of the time, the reputation a person has is the reputation they have earned. Henry Ford said, you can't build a reputation on what you're going to do. In other words, it's action and accomplishment that gives a person a good reputation. Solomon in chapter 22 of Proverbs said, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Why? Because a great name, a great reputation is tougher to hang on to than money. That's something you have to earn the hard way. Earlier, I used the example of seeking financial advice. If a financial consultant has a reputation for losing money for his clients, you might want to think twice before you hand him your hard-earned money. This also applies to employers and employees and leaders in the church. Take a look at the name they have earned for themselves among people you respect. Another reason for a good reputation is important is because of the time factor. It's easy to make a good first impression. It's easy to wow people in the first couple of months. But the leader that can wow people for 10 years, now he's got some substance to his message and his life. So choose to be influenced by those who have enough maturity to build a history of leadership. Life is far too complicated for us to make it all on our own. We need leadership. We need examples to follow. We need teachers and coaches to train us and motivate us. We will all be influenced by others. The question is, will you inadvertently be influenced or intentionally be influenced? Will you just be a product of who Satan happens to throw your way? Or will you choose those who influence you? Will you look for those who care about you? Will you look for those who walk the truth? Look for those who have earned a good name over time. And when you meet people who fit these criteria, listen to their words. Look at what they do. Follow them. Because what they do, the way they behave, is far more important than words they may say. Words are cheap. I fully realize that it's easy for me to get up here and talk because talk is cheap. What I say has to be backed up with action, or it doesn't mean beans. Look at those, what they do, how they act, and follow them. We're already way past time. It's 10 after. Some preachers have, find it hard to quit. But this is so important. Be influenced on purpose. Watch for those who enter into your life and exercise influence. Because those who walk closest with you, those who hang around with you, those that you spend time with, guess what? They're buying into your life. They're influencing you in ways you may not even be aware of. Do that intentionally. Spend time with people that you know walk with the Lord, and they'll steer you in the same direction. Not with words, just by the way they act. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, who lived faithfully, that people could say that he walked perfectly, sinlessly, in love. And it was him who gave his life, who lived for us to his death and beyond. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And help us as we choose our influencers. Help us to do it carefully, realizing how important it is. This I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ.